Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
If you just caught the tail end of our eating disorders item and you want to listen back to it in full or indeed anything on the programme, you can listen back to all of our shows. Just go to rte.ie/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. Now, Cabinet have proposed that no further action be taken on the Supreme Court row over Justice Seamus Wolfe's Golf Society dinner attendance. But the pressure will continue today for the government to allow the Justice Minister to answer Dáil questions on the other part of that story, which is on his appointment in the first place. And I'm joined now by law lecturer at the University of Limerick, Dr. Laura Cahalan, and Ireland editor with Independent News and Media, Fionnán Sheehan. Fionnán, I might get the news from you on this first. Where is this going to go? Because the Cairn Cóirle did say that a debate on the process of the appointment could be allowed as long as it was confined to that. So is it going to happen?
Yeah, there seems to be this view on the government's part that the opposition are too immature to actually confine their question to this, and that they're somehow it'll stray into other areas. That's not really a satisfactory answer. I mean, Micheál Martin stood up yesterday and made a firm statement about the independence and the integrity of the judiciary. But if anything, the government have actually damaged that in the eyes of the public. They're adopting this view that Helen McEntee can't take questions on it. She did briefly address the matter when she was asked about it at the Oireachtas Justice Committee yesterday. Didn't really add anything to what we know already. Said she did consider all the names that had both been put forward by the Judicial Appointments Board and that had applied for the job, that she spoke with the Taoiseach and the Green Party leader, Eamon Ryan, and the Attorney General, but again, didn't elaborate on why she didn't tell them that other people had applied for the job. Okay. So it will continue to be pursued by the opposition, but it looks like the higher principle of public confidence in the independence of the judiciary is playing second fiddle now to the political cover that's going on for Helen McEntee.
And Laura, just to ask you about that, I mean, is there any legal reason why the Minister for Justice wouldn't be able to answer questions in the Dáil on the process of the appointment of Seamus Wolfe?
No, and we're hearing an awful lot at the moment about the separation of powers and the separation of powers being used as an excuse for reasons why the Dáil or the government shouldn't have to answer questions on issues or the Dáil shouldn't be able to ask questions on issues. And Fionnán is actually right when he says that actually there's more damage being done by refusing to answer these questions. And the Dáil is quite right to demand that the Minister for Justice should come and answer questions on this process because of the fact that if it looks like this has been a political favour in terms of an appointment, that's actually quite damaging to the independence of the judiciary. So certainly if the debate was simply to focus on the process that was involved and answering the questions on what exactly happened, then there's absolutely no difficulty with the separation of powers on that.
And where does all of this, the fact that the government set out its position and said it wasn't going to move on the Seamus Wolfe issue, on the substantive issue, Frank Clark expressing the view that he should resign. It just seems as though it is stuck now and that it will just happen that Seamus Wolfe will serve on the Supreme Court from February. Is that something that can be allowed to continue if you're the Chief Justice, if you're the person who said, I think you should resign? Are you going to serve then with him from February? Where does that leave Frank Clark?
Yeah, it's a difficult position because of the fact that the judges expressed no confidence in their colleague, and the fact that Frank Clark publicly made known the fact that he believed that the judge should resign. But I suppose there have been discussions around the difference between resignation and impeachment, and I think that seems to be the issue here. And first of all, I suppose we should note as well that it's not actually the government's choice whether or not to decide on impeachment. That's actually a choice for the Oireachtas, and it looks possible that members of the opposition may look into putting down a motion in the near future. But obviously, if the government is not going to support it, there's little chance of that actually passing. So it does look like a removal removal motion is not going to happen, which means that we're left with this informal process set in train by the Chief Justice, whereby that will finish in February, and it's looking like Mr. Justice Wolf will be sitting with his colleagues in February. But obviously they are all professionals, and it looks like at this stage they will simply have to get on with it because there's no other further action which can be taken.
Okay, and we know that the Rise TD, Paul Murphy and five Solidarity People Before Profit deputies are looking at legal advice about that impeachment motion, but we'll leave that one there for now. Thank you very much, Dr. Cathalan. Fiona, will you stay with me, because I want to ask you about the other news that's happening at the moment. The state body responsible for the new National Children's Hospital, it's before the Oireachtas Health Committee today. What are we expecting to hear? I think the session has already started, hasn't it?
Yes, it's got underway. David Gunning, who is the chief officer of the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board, has given his opening statement, and they're going to questions. Now, there are two fundamental questions there. A, what's it going to cost? And B, when is it going to open? And when it's going to open, the contractual completion date was supposed to be in August 2022. That is obviously not going to be fulfilled at this point in time, and he can't actually say when specifically the hospital will be completed. On the costs, he's basically outlined how the developer BAM not only is running over in terms of the time for completion, but he's also submitting a whole host of additional charges for a cost that they're saying are being incurred. And he's saying that the board is pushing back against these, is withholding up to 15% of money on a monthly basis when invoices are submitted, because that's the only kind of penalty that they have in play. So there appears to be a whole load of problems coming down the line in terms of completion of this project, rather reminiscent of, go back to the Celtic Tiger days and the completion of motorways going dramatically over time and over budget. We were told that all those issues had been ironed out by the Department of Public Expenditure in recent years. It doesn't look like this, which is turned out to be the most expensive project in the history of the state, is going to be a set piece to show how that new system is working out. And it looks like all these issues are going to go over and back between the courts to resolve. Now, BAM are not appearing, obviously, before the committee today. I haven't heard their side of events. We saw earlier on this year as well, David Gunning was outlining how, obviously, the construction site was shut down during the hard lockdown in the early part of the year. But then when other construction sites reopened, there was another seven-week delay. So protracted delays, and we don't know when those two fundamental questions of time it's going to open and what the cost is going to be, those are not going to be teased out today.
Fionnán, thank you very much. Fionnán Sheehan there from Independent News and Media.